In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. In 1969, a social scientist by the name of Stanley Milgram did an experiment. And in this experiment, he would have actors who would stand out on a street corner in New York City. And all they would do is just stare up. Now, what he discovered was that if you have one actor just staring up, likelihood is people would just walk by, sort of assume this is just somebody who's maybe a little unbalanced, or maybe there's somebody working, and people just generally ignored the one person. But he discovered if you have two or three looking up, then people would stop. And they would also look up and try to figure out what these two or three are looking at. I could almost imagine, you know, people standing around. You know, once another person gathers and you have a slightly bigger group, and then another person gathers and you have a slightly bigger group, and pretty soon there's a good-sized crowd on the street all looking up, trying to figure out what we're looking at. You can imagine the conversation. Do you see it? Yeah, it's right there. What are we looking at? That, right there. Of course, there was nothing up there to see. Well, today in the book of Acts, we heard about Jesus ascending to heaven and the apostles experiencing the awe and wonder of what had just happened. And they're staring up and just looking what Jesus just goes up. And as they're staring up, they're interrupted by two men who say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven?" And then the apostles are shaken out of their wonderment and sent on their way. The story in Acts actually starts off with the apostles hanging on to an idea. And you know, sometimes when we have an idea and we think something, it can be really hard to shake that idea. Even when presented with new information, this is called cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance is the discomfort of holding two contradictory ideas. And we often will try to rationalize one idea, the original idea, to fit the new information. So there's a cartoon that goes back, that psychologists have used, where there's an animal of some kind, I can't remember what, where it's looking up at a pear, and it can't, really wants the pear, but it can't reach the pear, so it walks off and said, "Oh, I didn't want that pear anyway." Well, this is exactly what the apostles were doing. They were holding on to an idea. Now, if you remember, Judas betrayed Jesus. But why did Judas betray Jesus? It was because Judas believed that Jesus was going to overthrow the Roman Empire and restore the kingdom of Israel. And this all despite the fact that Jesus had said many things over his ministry, like "the kingdom is among you," or "my kingdom is not of this world." These apostles who were remaining, who were there right before the ascension, these guys had seen Jesus' miracles. They'd followed Jesus to Calvary. They had witnessed his resurrection. They knew Jesus was greater than any secular power. And they knew that he was going to do something greater than any earthly realm could possibly do. And yet they too were stuck with this idea. They start off by asking, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" I mean, you could just almost hear Jesus sighing and see him rolling his eyes. So Jesus responds, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority." It's not for you to know the times or periods. We have to remember that there are some things that are simply too far beyond our mortal minds to understand. And this is the essence and often the frustration of faith. that we have to believe without always knowing all the facts, which goes so against the grain of what we want to do. And then we have to even go a little further and really knowing we may never even be able to know all the facts. Faith is knowing that there is more mystery than there is revelation. And sometimes we just have to rest in that we will never know everything, but still know that God will take care of us. As the epistle, 1 Peter says, cast all your anxieties on him. But faith, while it is this idea of having faith without knowing everything, at the same time, faith is also a call to action. Jesus says to the apostles in Acts, you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, I realize that the reading is setting us up for Pentecost next Sunday, but the apostles, for them, this message was something different. The apostles were expecting to know all things. They were expecting to see all things. They wanted to witness the restoration of an earthly kingdom. They were expecting to live comfortably and freely in their little corner of the world. But Jesus does not give them that. He tells them to go out to the ends of the earth. And then he leaves. And there they are, staring at the heavens. We are still called to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Not called to always know everything. We're not called to be perfect, but we are called out of our comfort zones. We are called to not stay in our personal Judeas, but to go out where those scary Samaritans live, whoever they may be today. We are called to witness to Christ's love among the Greeks and Romans and unknowns of our time. And we don't even know what this witnessing will look like, and that is the scariest part. And so we have to trust, as the apostles had to, that the Holy Spirit will lead us when we're needed. You know, this week we saw in the news three separate acts of terrorism in the world. We saw a bombing in Manchester in England. We saw a bombing in Egypt of Coptic Christians and a stabbing on a train in Portland, Oregon. Two of these incidents had examples of witnessing to the gospel. In the Portland, Oregon stabbing, a white supremacist went after two women he believed to be Muslims, and two men stood in their way and lost their lives. We have to remember that witness, in Greek, the word is martyrios. It's the same word for martyr. And sometimes our faith calls us to put ourselves into very difficult positions. In the Manchester bombing, there was a 35-year-old homeless man named Stephen Jones who became an unlikely hero. After the blast, many people were started running, trampling over victims, trying to get away. But this man aided and comforted the victims, sometimes doing very basic first aid, holding wounds shut until paramedics arrived, doing the best he could to keep the victims alive. When an interviewer asked him why he did it, he said, if I didn't help, I wouldn't be able to live with myself, walking away and leaving kids like that. Witnessing to the gospel can look like a lot of things, but we can't just sit still staring off into space. We have to go out. We have to challenge our comfort zones. We have to love the unlovable. We have to pray for our enemies. We have to comfort those who mourn. We are called to spread the good news in both word and deed, and not always knowing if we've even made a difference. The call of Christ is a challenge to all of us. It's a challenge to go out into the unknown. In our many occupations and cares of our lives, we must be who Christ has called us to be. Amen.